Hello fellow humans, my name is Vlad Bunea, and this is Economy for Life. Today I will talk about understanding capitalism. Professor Richard Wolff has published in 2023 a book called Understanding Capitalism. Richard Wolff is one of the most famous Marxists in the United States today. I respect him a lot. He has done great work at making socialism and Marxism more popular. Zoran Mamdani probably would not have won in New York if New Yorkers did not know what socialism is actually about, and probably from Richard Wolff. We are here to talk about capitalism. Richard Wolff builds on the legacy of Karl Marx to define capitalism as a system of production created by the separation of people into classes, employees and employers. He writes, "Employees sell their capacity to work, their labor power, to employers for a wage. Employers set employees to work with means of production, tools, equipment, raw materials, etc., that employers usually own. Employers organize the work to produce specific outputs. Capitalism's distinctive production relationship excludes the human ownership of slavery and the interpersonal obligations of feudalism. Instead of masters and slaves, or lords and serfs, we have employers and employees." This is a very simple interpretation of what is happening in a capitalist system. Of course, this definition is true in the sense that there are examples from the real world where indeed in a firm or a corporation, we have two classes of people, employees and employers. All corporations listed on the stock market have these classes of people. There are also examples of corporations that do not have these classes and are still considered capitalists, such as shell companies incorporated in fiscal paradises with one employee that are created just to hide enormous sums of money from taxation. Jean-Philippe Robet explains in his book Property, Power and Politics that corporations are legal entities and in fact, they do not have any owners. Corporations are created by an act of law. The owners of the corporation are not its shareholders. Shareholders only own their shares, but they do not own the corporation itself. They do not own any of its assets, and they do not have power to decide what happens inside the corporation. Of course, if we take a Marxist interpretation, we can say that when executives hire managers, when managers hire workers, we can talk about two classes of people, the employers who do the hiring and the employees who are being hired. However, a manager is hired and can be fired by his own boss, so that makes him an employee of the corporation because he's also in a subordinate position to somebody above him. Whoever can hire and fire a worker in a corporation, or whoever has power to compel somebody else to do something under threat of losing their job, that person qualifies as an employer. They can be a team leader or a CEO. In reality, capitalist corporations are undemocratic hierarchies. The employee versus employer definition of capitalism is just a partial interpretation of what capitalism is actually about. Richard Wolff also explains the importance of the concepts of capital, surplus, and profit. These also come from Karl Marx. Money are being invested by capitalists to make products, which are then being sold for more money. Capital is this self-expanding money. Surplus is the difference between the value added by laborers and wages paid to them. When the workers at Tesla make cars worth of $1 billion, their wages combined are always much less than $1 billion. Even excluding the entire cost with materials, energy, and factories, workers will always be paid less than the value they produce. Profit is when surplus is used to grow the corporation by producing more, and it is also a kind of return on the capital that owners invested into the corporation. The concepts of capital, surplus, and profit come together with the employee versus employer definition. They are part of the Marxist interpretation. We can find many examples from real life where plenty of corporations follow this logic. However, there are examples and interpretations that take a different route. As you saw in my video about the profit motive, there are corporations that do not have a profit for a very long time, and they do just fine. Surplus is a concept that applies most visibly in manufacturing, in activities that require investments in lots of assets, such as buildings, machineries, or software. Surplus is less visible and even absent in industries that work with intellectual capital, like in entertainment. In film and music, for example, products can generate profit for corporations without any workers, in the form of royalties, or at least that is how it appears on paper. Sure, somewhere there are some workers making surplus for the industry, but their input is so detached from the actual product, it is very difficult and almost impossible to say which workers generated that surplus, if there are any in the first place, let alone quantify the contribution of those workers to the final product. This is the critique of Marxism that was raised by Nitzan and Bickler in Capital as Power. The employee versus employer interpretation of capitalism, sometimes known as the labor theory of value, is not a bad interpretation. It still works for many simple cases, but it does not work in all cases. I think a more comprehensive understanding of capitalism is needed, one that includes the labor theory of value and attempts to cover all cases. This understanding, which I call the causal scripted analysis of capitalism, is not an interpretation of capitalism, but it is an analysis based on what is written down in laws, contracts, algorithms, and so on. This analysis defines capitalism as an economic system where the regime of property is linked to the regime of power by the doctrine of proportionality, the regime of power is linked to the regime of capital by the doctrine of hierarchies, and the regime of capital is linked to the regime of property by the doctrine of dispossession, while the growth incentive catalyzes all economic interactions. This causal definition of capitalism identifies the actual forces that make capitalism work. Some of the consequences of these forces is the employee versus employer interpretation of capitalism, which does not explain what capitalism does from a causal perspective, but rather offers an interpretation of the consequences of how the three forces operate in the economy. When I say that the Marxist approach is an interpretation, I mean that it is a story about what capitalism does, but it is not a story about how capitalism functions from a causal perspective. To use an analogy, the interpretation of a symphony that is written down on a musical score is what a certain orchestra thinks the symphony should sound like, or what they think the symphony is about. The fundamental cause of the symphony is the musical score itself, with its internal musical theory and message. The score causes the symphony, not the orchestra that interprets it. You guessed it, the orchestra is the metaphor for Marxism. In the real world, the force of hierarchies is what causes the formation of the employee versus employer relation. Since shareholders do not own the corporation, they do not have any control whatsoever over the so-called means of production, let alone over the decisions of managers. The force of proportionality, on the other hand, is what causes the relation between shareholders and employees of the corporation. Remember, shareholders do not own the corporation. Nobody does. When I asked Lisa Herzog, the author of The Democratic Marketplace, in an interview, if we should replace one share, one vote with one worker, one vote as the first step in phasing out capitalism and democratizing our economy, she replied that democratizing only workplaces is unlikely to be enough to get rid of capitalism. You can read the interview in the Sufficiency and Wellbeing magazine. This means capitalism is much more than just the lack of democracy at work. Let us look again at the real life. Take Amazon, for example. Can Amazon be understood strictly through a Marxist interpretation? No. It is too complex to be just about employee versus employer, capitalist surplus and profit. Amazon has been running without profit for many years. Amazon also creates surplus not from his employees, but from us, its consumers. It is what Yanis Varoufakis has called cloud capital in his book Technofeudalism, which I have discussed before here. This is a form of capital that is created paradoxically by the consumers of the product, not its producers. We consumers train the algorithm to train us, to train it, and so on, so it can recommend us or manipulate us what to buy. The labor theory of value cannot explain the causes of this mechanism. Even the techno-feudalism interpretation of capitalism does not touch on the fundamental causal forces within capitalism. Can the Marxist definition of capitalism help us understand the complete picture about what capitalism is? Yes and no. Yes, because it does offer a simpler interpretation of what is going on, and no, because it does not offer all other interpretations, such as why is capitalism obsessed with infinite growth and does not pinpoint the actual fundamental causal forces. Understanding capitalism is a tricky affair, but not an impossible affair. The world has changed much since Karl Marx has published Das Kapital. Capitalism can be defeated when we dismantle its fundamental causal forces. Thank you for supporting my research on Patreon and Ko-fi. If you enjoyed this video, please click the like and the subscribe buttons and comment something below, like your favorite Richard Wolff quote. YouTube needs that to show me to other people. Let us replace capitalism with an economy for life. Increase the peace.